Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Jake.
Hi, Ian.
Boswiggle.
Can't believe all.
Okay. Hey, guess what?
What?
On June 14th, me and Ben are going to be hosting this event.
Where?
At the Summit Church in Hernando, Mississippi.
Am I allowed to come?
Absolutely, you are.
I love you, Ian.
Yeah, well, I love you too. I almost said you're welcome. That would have been very arrogant of me to say.
Very.
Yes. But we're hosting it, and not only are we hosting it, but me and my brother are playing at it. It's a benefit concert for a girl named Samantha Rachel Bush.
What happened to her?
She's going on missions to Uganda. She's raising money for that. So
sweet.
It's going to be really cool. A band called Lysa's Lenses are going to be there, as well as the Lacey Band, which is a very good friend of mine and the guy who actually got us hooked up with Summit Church. So it's going to be fun. I think there's going to be food there or something. There's going to be a bunch of stuff there, I think.
I went on a mission trip once.
Yeah? Where'd you go?
Nassau, Bahamas. It was really fun.
Yeah. I heard a lot about that.
It was really fun. You missed out.
I know. I wanted to go really bad, but I didn't. So.
Yeah, it's okay, though.
As well as that, next year in 2014, which I think I've talked to you about this before, but there's an event called One Fest that my father-in-law, Darren Hillis, is putting on. And it was his kind of brainchild, and he did it like 10 years ago, and he's bringing it back.
Sweet.
And it's a Christian music festival, and it's awesome. It's going to be
big
awesome.
Big names going to be there?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We haven't confirmed anybody yet, so I think we can say that.
Is there going to be any metal?
I'm sure there will, if I have anything to do about it. Yeah, and we'll be there, me and Ben. We're
sweet.
Hopefully going to be doing some, no.
Uh-oh.
Well, I don't know, we'll see.
You should rock out.
We should, that'd be fun. just like that. Just like that. But me and Ben are going to be doing some hosting and maybe some podcast stuff, so it'll be kind of fun. So.
Yeah, you could get some big artists on your podcast, like me.
Yeah, about that.
Hey, that's not very nice.
Anyways, so yeah, that's pretty much it.
I love Poser Podcast.
Yes, he does. He's supported us a lot.
I have indeed.
All right, signing off.
Goodbye.
From Panama City Beach, Florida.
I love you. And you, Ian.
I love you too, buddy. Welcome to the Poser Podcast. My name is Ian Campbell, and I'm here with
Benjamin David Beam.
I didn't ask you to mix it up. Just say your name.
I didn't. Okay. Hi.
And week two, we're not alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme with us.
I know. We're getting just pulling people in.
Yep.
Left and right.
Yep.
Up and down. Anyways.
front to back.
Diagonally.
that lovely voice is the voice of my sister.
Hi.
Hi, Yola.
This is the third. Well, actually, she's the first, and I'm the third. Campbell sibling. Now we've had
What's
them all.
What's up with that? Third.
I didn't choose it. I can. Anyways. yeah.
Ew.
So now we've had the full Campbell sibling catalog on our podcast. Yeah. So last week I had my sister-in-law. Now I have my sister in life.
Good. Okay.
Man, I'm just
coming up with these phrases, bro. They're just popping out. It's gold.
Yeah. She's not your bro. She's your sister.
Come on.
There's a difference.
I just can't win for losing.
No. So? No, you can't.
So how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a little delirious.
Yeah, it's a little. It's kind of late.
Yeah.
We've been at this for a little while.
I feel like that's a recurring theme in every other podcast that we record.
Yeah, we keep saying that. I keep hearing podcasts where we go, this is kind of late.
Yeah.
And I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then we apologize.
Yeah.
So we're sorry because we're about to be really kind of goofy, I feel like.
Yeah. Goofier than normal.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's kind of worse for me because this is my only appearance on the podcast. So they're only going to hear delirious me, which is
the best you.
Wow.
Ouch.
It's ouch.
The one I enjoy the most. But what was I about to say? No, this is not going to be your only appearance on the podcast.
Oh, well, that's good.
You're going to be on more.
You don't know. You haven't heard me on the podcast yet. You
that's
really
true.
Make
you might really
promise.
Suck at this, and we wouldn't want that. So
she's not going to suck.
She's already doing swell. So
look at who we're talking to.
Yeah, I know. Such a professional over here.
I am pretty awesome.
Humble too. It's nice.
Friends in the family.
Yeah, trust me. Yes, but every week. Okay. So we are gonna talk about something that's hits close to home for all of us, which I said the exact phrase on the last podcast at the beginning of it. But no, we are. We're gonna talk about something that's personal to all of us, and it's the title of the topic that we're going to talk about is going to sound very general because it is. Youth leadership.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. For some people, yes, that's the first yes. thing here. But it's okay. Josh can tell us what the time is.
Okay.
Youth leadership. And it's something that we are all involved in and we've all been involved in for a long time, and
yeah,
when we weren't involved in being leaders, we were on the other side of it. We were being led. Yeah, we were the youth. So we've had experience on both sides of the issue. So I guess it's not really an issue. Does issue mean it's not a negative word? It's just
no,
a thing.
No,
it's
just
a topic,
thing.
Right?
It's yeah.
Okay.
Issue
synonymous
magazine.
With topic.
Yeah, yeah. Issue of comic book. That's what I think.
That's not bad.
No. I just got completely distracted by Josh taking a picture of us.
Awesome.
If you didn't have that psychotic grin on his face right now
yeah.
while he was taking it, it
would be better. Oh, man. I wish I had my camera out just then. But because reason, again, we didn't say this earlier, but we are again at the Colonial Hills isolation booth, located behind the stage at Colonial Hills Church. And my lovely brother is doing the production or the engineering, I guess you could say, for the podcast.
Thanks,
Josh. He likes engineering better. Haley is handing you her cell phone right now. And you didn't know that because you have headphones on. Youth leadership. I've said this before, but I'm on staff at a church called Hope Presbyterian Church in, or just Hope Church is what we usually call it, in Cordova, Tennessee, which is, as Haley and I were discussing the other day, is not a part of Memphis. It's a suburb of Memphis. And they're currently trying to annex it into Memphis, which would be kind of cool, but I don't know. What is really confusing, because I'm totally getting off subject, but it's really confusing because in Cordova, they don't have Cordova police officers. They're Memphis police officers in Cordova.
So anyway, they're going above and beyond
I
their
know.
Responsibilities
yeah.
by
I know.
Helping out in Cordova.
They're just that, or they've just been really trying to warm up to the annex idea.
That's
here,
probably what
have
it
our
is.
Cups. Yeah. Anyways, but I work at Hope Church. I am a youth ministry intern, and it's awesome. I don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah. So we've each been involved in
yes, that's
youth
where I was
ministry.
Going.
I used to lead a small group. Well, we were all highly involved in our youth group in like leadership capacities, even while we were still students.
Yeah.
And then since then, I led a small group of guys for about a year, I guess, ninth grade guys, which are all, they're all in college now, which makes me feel really old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, right now I'm currently, I help Josh, out second through sixth graders. So it's a different kind of youth.
Very different kind of youth.
Yeah.
You're a brave soul.
Yeah.
I my group of guys are about to be seniors, so I don't think, I was talking to a guy named Justin Aaron the other day. He's on staff at Hope too. He works with the fifth and sixth graders. And dude, I don't think I could work with fifth and sixth grade. I couldn't do it.
It's intense, man.
It's a fun age.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't do it. I wanted to kill some of my guys on a daily basis. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't handle it too
well. Yeah. No, but I love my guys. I'm not going to kill anyone.
Not even Billy.
Even though Ben met Billy.
Hi.
So now he understands.
Hi, Billy.
Oh, Billy.
Which we...
Haley's got this dumbfounded look on her face now. Haley's here too. She's hanging out with Josh.
Billy and I had this great conversation about how he was going to take over the world
one day. Yeah. So.
And his plan for doing that.
No.
It's not really appropriate to talk about on the air.
No.
So.
No one who's listening to this can judge me now because I said I want to kill Billy sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh my dear.
I don't really want to kill Billy. He's one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah. So what about you, Yella? What do you do? And
I work with a pretty broad range of youth, actually. I mean, if you're going to talk about second to sixth graders, I teach first and second graders, and I work in an after-school program with fourth graders, and I get to hang out with eighth graders, about to be ninth graders, at my church at Colonial Hills. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize this until just now, but kids are kind of your life.
Yeah, I'm with people under the age of 18 all the time.
Being a teacher. Did you say that?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I said I was a teacher. I said I work with kids. Yeah.
But my sister is a teacher.
Yeah.
No matter how small. Sorry.
Person is a person.
No matter how small.
Yeah. No, it's super fun though. It's exciting. You never know what to expect. And I don't know. I love my eighth grade girls because they are they do stuff that I'm afraid to do. Like they jump out, we go to the nursing home and visit people and these girls are just like running in there to talk to people. And I'm just like, okay, guys, hold on. Give them a second to realize that there's a human in their room before, you know, but they don't, they're just like, they just want to love on people and get outside their comfort zone. And it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, they're incredible.
That's cool. Eighth grade, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's in your,
I have,
do I know any of them is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Oh, you would know, Michaela Pope. You know her?
I do know her.
She's there. I think that's probably the only one of my girls you'd probably know.
Gotcha. You should tell her that you mentioned her on the podcast.
I should tell all of them.
Yes. That was my real ruse to getting you to talk about all that. So now I have a ton of listeners. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I have like five girls.
Well, I'll have five more. No.
I have more than five, actually.
Well.
They're pretty rocking.
Yeah. But... let's talk about a little bit the importance of what it is we're involved with, like youth ministry. We've been doing this thing at Hope the last few Sundays. Haley, actually, my sister-in-law, the one that was on the last podcast, the first week we started this, she and Bosworth, which I've talked about before on the podcast, both did... both gave it. Yeah, that was my throat. both gave a senior talk, And it was just kind of like some of the things they do are they get up there and the person that's in charge of their group of like Kelly Hunt is the girl who's in charge of the senior high girls. So she got up there and was and kind of interviewed Haley and talked to her and asked her some questions. And this last week it was actually Haley's best friend, Katie Toller, who did fantastic. I don't think she listens to the podcast, but just in case she does, she did fantastic. And she kind of interviewed him and then asked him some questions about like school. What was your high point in school? What was the high point of being involved in Hope and, you know, everything? What's your greatest memory at Hope? And something, a reoccurring theme was, they kept saying the students, and this week it was Katie and a guy named, we call him Bob, Cowan, Robbie. At some point, every kid who gets up there and talks, says how important it is to have a relationship with your leaders and have, and you're not just not take them for granted, like to really, open up and invest in them and let them invest in you. And I thought that was kind of cool. And afterwards, it kind of, kind of put a ton of pressure on me because after Katie and Bob's talk, there was a kid who's I have the junior guys, the 11th grade guys who are about to be seniors, and one of the guys who just started coming to our small group on Sunday nights, our roots group, he actually kind of really opened up and was like, "Hey man, I think you're a really awesome leader, and I think you can really, you know, I could really open up to you and tell you stuff, and you can really make a difference in my life if I just let you, and I really want to." And I was like, "Bro, I'm here. That's what I'm here for." You know, like it was really cool.
That's awesome.
And that's when I realized that. You know, that's not when I realized that's why we're there, but that's like it was them, the seniors who had been there and who had been invested in and had a relationship with leaders and people like me. It took them getting up there and saying that for that kid to go, you know, that's right. And I don't know, it's terrifying to me how many kids, I mean, that's just terrifying in general that I have the opportunity to speak into that kid's life like this and the power to either really screw him up or make him a better person or help him become a better person. Through God using me to do that. But it also terrifies me is the fact that, you know, he didn't do that until they got up there and kind of gave a little testimony about it. How many other kids, one, how many other kids need that? And two, how many other kids aren't doing it? Like, are just sitting in a chair and waiting for either, waiting to just get up and make that decision to approach us or waiting for us to approach them. And it terrifies me how many missed opportunities I've had just because I was distracted or I was playing foosball or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to say I wasn't where I needed to be at the time. Cause who knows, I might have needed to be playing foosball with that kid, but it saddens me and it terrifies me. The fact that there are kids out there that are getting missed and I just, I kind of completely jumped like, past the meat of our podcast and to the end, like this is like we are how important our role is. Like there are kids out there that aren't getting reached and that we need to. So I guess let's talk about a little bit about how we've been affected. Like when we were, as Danielle said, when we were youths.
Did I say youths? I don't remember saying that because that would be grammatically incorrect.
Coming from the teacher. Yeah. So, I don't know. You guys got anything like what is your most memorable? Just kind of, I guess the thing you remember most about being in the youth ministry, growing up in it.
I don't know if it's the thing I remember most, but like you were talking about missing opportunities and talking to people and stuff. something that really stood out to me while you were saying that was, like I said earlier, we were kind of in leadership positions, or, well, yeah, when we were youths,
yeah, we were student leaders.
We were student leaders, basically. And so we, you know, something that our youth pastor at the time, John Sager, used to instill in us a lot was look for the invisible people. You know, look for the people that are standing by the door, yeah, just ready to dart, you know.
Yeah.
And the ones by themselves, you know, like they want to be in a fetal position at that moment. Yeah, you know?
I don't want to be here.
And so we just kind of had to train ourselves over the course of several years to look for those people and to get out of our comfort zone and go welcome them in.
Yeah.
And so I was actually that kid, like that was me,
yeah,
when we first started coming to Colonial, because a lot of you guys probably don't know this, we actually really haven't talked about it much, but I grew up in Russia. My family were missionaries to Russia. We were there for 11 years.
Hold on, let me make a distinction real quick, because it always bugged me growing up when people would say this to you. Ben is not Russian.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben is and has always been
an
U.S.
American
citizen.
Yes.
He is not Russian. Yes. He
would people just to this day that have known me for like 6 years would come up and be like, so you're Russian, right? No, I'm not. I was born in America. I'm an American.
America.
No, but we moved to Russia when I was two, and then my mom had some health complications. Hey, long arms. If you want to just like, I can see your arms if you reach toward the window and then you can gesture to me.
Long arms being Josh. Because he does have freakish orangutan arms.
There you go. Okay. So, yeah. So my mom had some health complications when I was about 13 and we had to move back to the States in like a span of 3 days. So it was pretty intense, but through a lot of just prayer all over the world, God pulled her through it. But in the process, we realized that she needed to live in the States, that she couldn't, you know, she didn't need to be overseas anymore. So we felt like we were being called back to America, and we ended up moving to Olive Branch, which is in North Mississippi, kind of a suburb of Memphis-ish.
Not as close as Cordova.
No.
They don't have Memphis police there.
Right.
What up, Memphis?
And then we ended up coming to Colonial. But at the time, it was just a really dark time in my life. And I was really struggling with my faith and all kinds of different stuff. And so I was a hypocrite. And so I automatically assumed that everybody else at church was a hypocrite. And I was a loner, too. And I really just didn't like people. I didn't like hanging out with people. They freaked me out. They were weird. And especially American teenagers, I thought they were like the stupidest people on the planet.
You were right.
Yeah. Because they were just like obnoxious.
I was speaking about myself.
Not the American teenagers you know now.
Not
right?
The kids I work with. That was for me.
Well, coming from like living overseas and everything, it's just a different culture. And I just thought like, American teenagers are obnoxious and they're loud and they're shallow and all this kind of stuff. And then through getting involved in the youth group, or being forced to get involved, because Becca was the complete opposite, my older sister, and she was involved in everything and made friends with everybody and forced me to do the same, I realized that there were some genuine people and that not everybody is a hypocrite. But all this to say, John Sager, our former youth pastor, he came up and talked to me a lot and used to try to get me to talk. Him and his wife, Sharon, both used to come up because they recognized that I was an invisible person, and they came up and talked to me and really kind of helped me get out of my shell and took me out to their house, we call Sager Hill, and just, you know, I hung out with them and I had a lot of firsts out on Sager Hill. My first time using a chainsaw. First time building the fort out of bamboo.
That sounds like a
first time snipe hunting.
Oh,
just
yeah.
a bunch of first times, and just really like meeting other people in the church, and it really was a big impact on influencing me to get my life right and figure out all the stuff that I was struggling with. So, yeah, all that to say, like, the importance of youth ministry, I think, is finding the invisible people, and the invisible people inside of the people that aren't, you know, introverts. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes the extroverts and the loud, rambunctious, noisy people are just as invisible because they're not really showing you their true colors.
Yeah, definitely.
That was me.
Yeah.
You were the actual invisible person, and I was the other one.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I feel like when you're that kind of personality, because since I've come out of that, I've kind of, for a little while, I flip-flopped to the other side, not to where my walk spiritually was as bad, but just through my own insecurities and everything, I became an extroverted person that did the exact same thing I was doing before, just in a different way, where I would be loud and funny and noisy and throw up all these smoke screens so you still couldn't see who I really was. So.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a big job of youth leaders to see invisible people. And I also think it's a big job of them to help train their youth to do that same job, to see, and not just to see people, but just to be all that it means to be a Christian. Like, because youth is when you're transitioning from that everyone does everything for me, I'm a kid, to oh my gosh, I'm on my own. Like, what do I do?
What happened?
I mean, I know for me, like, that was huge for me, and I don't know if anyone told her to do this, but I don't think I was invisible. Like, people knew who I was, and I knew people, and whatever, but I was completely freaked out by the youth experience because I didn't understand how to interact with people or anything like that. So I was that weird kid that sat all by myself. And one girl named Toni Sager decided to be my friend.
Speaking of them Sagers.
And yeah, speaking of Sagers, she was my age, and she just wouldn't leave me alone. Like, she just kept talking to me and kept inviting me to stuff. Like, she would ask me to sit with her, and I'd say no. And then she'd ask me again.
Try that again.
Yeah, she was awesome. And she and another girl, Amelia Sewell, just adopted me. And just, I don't know, because I felt weird, and I was weird. And they just, I don't know, having friends and being a part of a group makes you feel normal. Like, people could like me. Like, I could be interesting.
Somewhere.
Yeah, and they did that for me.
That's huge for a teenager.
It is. Yeah. It was. It was absolutely world-changing. Yeah. I mean, it was completely life-changing for me. And so that was probably my big youth transition was that of just being accepted by some girls who loved me.
My thing was, I was, I went through phase after phase after phase growing up. When I was a young kid.
You did have a lot of phases.
Right? Like, when I was a young kid.
You were a big model emulator. Like, you, not as in, like, professional models.
I don't want to be
You always had a role model. Like, you were.
Yeah. Like, I would attach to someone and become a little version of that person. Yeah. But when I was growing up, when I was really young, before I even really got involved in the youth group, we lived in a wonderful place, which my parents still live, called Whitehaven in Memphis. And it was, yeah, exactly. It was, that was a delicate way to say this. It was not the safest neighborhood, I guess you could say. It was kind of the ghetto. Is kind of the ghetto. But
there's some good people there.
That's what I was about to say. Like, it was a ghetto,
some
but
good things happen.
Good things happen, and there are good people there. And, you know, I don't want people to think that I hated my neighborhood. I love my neighborhood. I love going back there and seeing the people. Of course, a lot of my friends don't really live there anymore, but I've made so many memories there, and just, I wouldn't be who I am now if I hadn't grown up there. So I do appreciate that, and I love it. But I also realize that there, I was put in a few situations that probably weren't the safest of situations.
I would not say you were put in. I would say you put
yourself in. Yeah.
Reality check here. That's what sisters do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no, no. You did it to yourself.
You did that to yourself.
But, I mean, I'm sure you didn't realize that that's what you were doing at the time. But
from the age of, like, I think maybe 7 to, like, 12. Or 7 to, like, 11. I was very
urban, urban young man. I wore the saggy pants and the jerseys and the basketball shoes all the time, and I didn't call the front door a door. I just cut the last two letters of that word just right off. And so, like, I
wanted to be black. Let's just say what it was.
I did not. I was happy with the way I was. I was.
You just acted like a black person.
The culture, not necessarily. Oh, sorry. Is this okay? I hit it.
Okay. You got real excited there.
It's not. I mean, it's not. It's not black people. It's the culture. Because I wasn't trying, you know, change my skin. I wasn't trying to really change anything about myself. I was just, I liked who I was, and I fit in with my friends, and you know, yeah, the majority of the people in our neighborhood were African American, but it was not, it's the culture. It's not really, it's not the color, it's the culture.
I was just kidding, by the way.
Now you're gonna get fired.
No, like I said, I love my friends, and I just, like you said, I wanted to be accepted, I wanted to fit in, and that was how I did that. But then I got really involved in the Colonial Hills Church, which is the church that we're in now. I got really involved in that church, and found a group of friends who weren't always the best of influences, but they were better than the ones that I grew up with.
Moving forward.
Yeah. I'm gradually getting better at this. But you know, they stand today. They were the friends that I'm talking about now. When I was about 12, when I started skateboarding, and I really got involved in the junior high ministry and at Colonial Hills, and you know, met all these friends. And to this day, I still love those guys to death. And I don't always see them because, you know, you grow up and that happens. But you know, eventually Ben was among those people. He didn't really skateboard, but.
No, Josh and I rode bicycles.
But like we talked about before in a few podcasts, you know, me and Ben got close because of Josh's relationship with Ben, and how they were basically like dating.
Shut up. Anyway, it never happened.
Anyways, that was a joke. They weren't. But those guys made such an impact on my life that, you know, they were my groomsmen. I had 10 groomsmen at my wedding, and my wife had 5 bridesmaids. We made it work, though. It was cool. It looked good, and Haley was one of them. Yes, and so was Danielle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's why. What? You weren't a bridesmaid, Josh. I'd Ben and Josh were my groomsmen, which is me. Actually, they were my best men, which is I think best what men. Josh was. Trying to get at. Don't stand that way.
I'm tired of sitting.
But wow, time flies. But they, but those guys that I met and got so close to then were, I mean, and still are today, probably some of my core friends. That's why I couldn't not have them in my wedding. Like, one of them was supposed to be my wedding, but he had to, you know, be a Marine and stuff, and be not in the country or something. I don't know, but Tyler Smith. But that was when I kind of my transition. But at the same time, I found those awesome group of people who built me up in the right way and taught me how to be kind of helped me find out who I was, which I'm, you know, constantly on that journey of really trying to figure out who I am. I think we all are, but they kind of helped me come into my own. And I was the kid with the really long hair that everybody told me that I should cut because my head looked like a mushroom cloud, and because my hair is really thick. And
it did.
Yeah. I was the kid who wore a necktie with t-shirts and really just, I would find on purpose the ugliest things that I owned, and I'd wear them just because I wanted to. And
Because I enjoyed the reaction I got out of people. Like, why are you wearing that?
And then the next week, other people were wearing it too.
Yeah.
Not all the other people.
And then I have to find something different.
Including me.
But having, and I like the attention. I was very outgoing. I was very, you know, I liked to be in front of people. I liked to entertain, which is one of the reasons why I think I enjoy this. I like to, you know, I enjoy entertaining. And I was always that guy who was out front, who was loud, who was, in middle school, I know I was obnoxious.
Yep.
And you know, but like what you were saying, Ben, like, you know, a lot of people think that that those people don't really have problems, mm-hmm. that those people don't have it all under control and have everything working right, but that is not the case at all. Those people have just as many problems as the people who are invisible. They just like the people who are invisible, they keep their problems invisible. excuse me.
It's okay.
We've been doing this a little while now. But that was me. That was me. I was that guy. I was the guy who, for all intents and purposes, looks like he had it together pretty much, and was told by certain people, you know, I really look up to you. People who are older than me, like, I really look up to you because, you know, you seem like you got it figured out. You have it all together. And inside, I was like, man, you cannot be more wrong. Like, I don't know why you're saying this, because I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. And
I call that Wizard of Oz syndrome.
Yeah.
Because it's like you put on this big show and it's like pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. It's sleight of hand. You make people look at your left hand while in your right hand you're making something disappear by putting it in your pocket. That's what you're doing with your problems. You're making everybody look at the surface so they don't go deep, so you can't see what's really going on. And I think that's where youth ministry comes in. Like, that's where that right there is why youth ministry is so very important. And that is why I stand amazed every week at the volunteers that we have at Hope and the staff people that we have at Hope who see that need and meet that need. And like Colonial Hills, that's why I asked Danielle to come on today, because, you know, that's what she's been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Took a break from it when she moved to Hattiesburg, which none of us were happy about. But she's back now. And that's where we come in. Like, that's why we're so important, is to be the person who can see past the distractions and the disguise and see through the invisible people to touch their problems and to let them know, like, you and I, like, that was us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not just talking to you to, you know, to do my job while I'm at church and make a kid happy and smile before
it's not just concepts. It's
I'm telling you this because I've been there. I know how you feel, and I'm on the other side of that now. And if I can help in just any little way, then I want to. I want to do whatever I can, because I know how it feels. I was your age. Not your age. I've not been your age yet. But like talking to a kid, like I know how you feel. I've been there, and I just want to help, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that you're in the right place, because the only thing that helped me when I was in your place was being here at church and finding the answer to the problems and the solutions to the problems that I had, which was God.
Yeah.
Which was putting my faith and my trust in the only one who can solve these problems and you know, carry the weight of whatever it is that's on my heart and on my mind. And that's why youth ministry is so important, and that's why I rush from work to get bathed so I don't smell bad to get to Hope Church as quick as I possibly can every Wednesday and Sunday and everything, every time I'm supposed to go up there. I wish I could be up there more, but I consume my life with work.
Yeah.
Who needs work? But now that I've talked the entire podcast.
We see this is something you're passionate about.
Just a little bit.
It's funny, though. You were talking about throwing up the smoke screens and all that. I remember this was when I was just starting to emerge from my show, and I was hanging out with Josh and you and Chris a little bit as a consequence. And I remember, like, you know, because I was super insecure and tall, skinny kid and just, you know, kind of a nerd. And and you and Chris were the cool kids, you know, the skateboarders and everything. And I always wanted to know how to skateboard. I just, I'm all thumbs. And I can't do it. I learned how to ollie.
Yeah.
On the grass.
Verba soft.
But anyway, yeah, like I was one of those. Like I was one of the kids. Like started wearing t-shirts and ties after you did, you know. And Daniel Sager and a couple of other of us, you know, did the same thing. And then I remember. We were at the warehouse, and your mom, because she can't keep secrets at all.
Oh, gosh, no.
Love
she came
mom.
Up to me one time, and she was like, yeah, you need to really, like, pray for Ian and Chris and all of them. And I was like, why? she said, she's like, because they're, you know, like, they're really insecure. Like, Ian is really, really insecure. And I was like,
mom was good at seeing
that. Yeah, I was like, really? Are you serious? She was like, yeah, him and Chris both act like they have it all together and like they're super cool, but it's like they're both really, really insecure, so just pray for them. I was like, okay. And that kind of like was the first time I saw you in a different light, and through her eyes, kind of peeled back some of your showmanship. And I was like, oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think youth ministry is one of the times when it's really important to be authentic, because when you're dealing with like little kids, you can kind of fool them into thinking you're really cool. And then adults awesome. Kind of buy your game a little bit more. But I feel like teenagers do not. They don't buy it. Like, yeah. If you're
just old.
Their first goal is to point out how uncool you
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And I think really they don't need it. Like, I think even it is important to look at them and say, hey, I was where you are. But at the same time, it's also really important to say, I am where you are right now.
Yeah.
Like, I am an imperfect human being chasing after Jesus. And he is teaching me stuff every day, and he is growing me every day, and there are stuff I don't understand about God, and there, you know, there is stuff that happens in my life that I don't get, and I don't know how to master yet, you know?
I don't have it all together.
Because in their head, in our heads, you know, we're always going, this is wrong with me, is this wrong with anybody else? Like, am I the only person who's like this? And so, when you sit in your small group in youth, and you say, hey, this is what I deal with every day, and it's the same as what they deal with every day, they can be like, oh my gosh,
thank you.
I'm a normal human being, and
I
can love Jesus too,
because,
you know, she loves Jesus, and she's broken like me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's one of the holdups is the thought that, you know, am I the only person that feels this way? And then the fear that holds it back of, well, what if I am the only person?
Yeah, as a leader, like,
yeah.
you feel
yeah.
that way. Because you're like, I don't want to be a bad example. Or I don't want to lead these kids astray.
Yeah.
yeah.
But you're going to lead them way worse if you're not honest about it. And I'm not saying you should, like, tell
hey,
every
I did
dark
night.
Secret you have in your life.
Especially or when let, fifth you know. And sixth graders.
No.
Come here, boy. Come here, I'm tell you something.
Oh, my dear. No. But you have to be, and that's a struggle for me, honestly. Like, it's hard to be honest.
Yeah.
It really
so
is.
So hard. So hard. You say 34? 40?
Yeah.
Wow.
We
it does
a lot.
Not feel like 40 minutes has gone by. Yeah. Well, I feel like we're going to have to pick this up another time and finish this. This was good. I like talking about stuff I like to talk about.
Yeah.
The last one, too. The last one was good, too. Like, when Josh told me, it was like, we went to a good 44
minutes.
Yeah. And I didn't want to end.
Yeah.
Two in a row, we're going to have to pick up. That's good. That's good.
That's good.
That's a good sign, right?
That means you yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah. Wow, man, you're a pro at this. You should do this more
well,
often.
I do actually talk all day as my job, so... Actually, I don't talk all day because you're not supposed to do that as a teacher. You're supposed to get them to talk and talk to each other and some such nonsense. But anyway.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, good luck we're hoping that. We're hoping to one day talk all day as our jobs too. So
in a different way.
Yeah, well, you want to get the closing up notes going?
Sure. Hey, Yella. Oh, you have the same anxious look on your face that Josh had when he was on the podcast.
Hey, look, you just saw Haley master this not too long ago.
I'm really hard with pop quizzes.
Do we have a Twitter?
Can I have a written version, please? Yeah.
What is it?
At Poser Podcast.
Yeah! Yeah! 10 points.
Okay, we're going to ask you
a
much easier question. Do you have an Instagram?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Poser Podcast.
At Poser Podcast. You're right. Podcast. It's the exact same answer as the one before it.
And by the way, I haven't moved into the 21st century yet, so I don't have a Twitter or an Instagram. So I don't understand any of the ways those work.
It's okay. We promise you. Why do I always do that?
I'm not Gretchen.
No, you're not.
She's your wife.
She's my wife. You're my sister. Very, very different.
Very different.
It's okay. I do that too. I've almost called Desi Becca like
a million times. Gretchen is pretty rocking. If you're going to call me something, that's not terrible.
Right? She's pretty awesome. What was I going to say?
You guys have an email too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Look at you all helping us out. Oh, what I was going to say was you're like 25.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you made yourself sound like
quarter
70
of
a minute
century.
Ago. But you're only 25 and I'm 22.
It's coming, buddy. It's coming for you.
You're next. We have an email. Do you know what it is?
Poserpodcast@gmail.com.
Woohoo! Hey, look at that.
I'm getting better at this.
Am I forgetting? Facebook. We have Facebook?
Yeah. Facebook.com/poserpodcast.
Yeah. She did that with sign language.
and we have a channel.
Yeah.
On the tube of you.
Tube of you. Also called YouTube.
YouTube.com/poserpodcast.
Yeah, YouTube.com/poserpodcast. We have a few videos up.
And our newest feature. We have a call-in service.
We do. We have a phone number.
You can leave us a message or contact either one of us, right?
Yeah. You just follow the prompts.
Without it actually being our real number, so you can't stalk us.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
We don't. You can't text us or anything like that. It doesn't work that way, but you can call us and leave us voicemails, tell us what you think of the podcast. You can call us, request, and leave voicemails and request, or talk to us if you feel like answering the phone. Call us and tell us, topic ideas, what you think, what you would like to hear, what you liked about the podcast, what you've heard. Also, you could call us and ask us to host whatever event you want us to host, and because we're trying to branch into that field.
Yeah.
If they call and you don't answer, it's because you want to remember the information that they're giving.
Yes, it's
you.
Not because we don't want to talk to you. It's because we forget everything.
So you want a digital copy.
It sends us an email with the voicemail in it, so we want to remember your stuff. So call us and I got to give you the number. It's broken. I broke it. Make it better. I'm going to try and do this from memory. It's 901. It's 901-290-2271.
No.
Oh.
901-290-2212.
2212. Right. The other one I had to pick from was 7.
901-290-2212.
Yeah. Call us and it'll be fun.
Yep.
Fun for the whole family.
Whole bunches of the fun.
This was fun. I'm glad. Welcome. Here you go, posers. Now you've met all my siblings. Now we just gotta get back in here.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Danielle, don't stare at the potato.
Don't stare.
Don't sing it. And cut.